got nothing. I can at least smile. Hey, stay tuned for my two mentors. First cuz, Brother Shaheed Hamid and Brother Omar. Islamic Point of View is coming up. Y'all stay blessed. We'll check y'all out next week, okay?
Good morning. This has been Gospel and More with JJ. We want to thank him as always for his wonderful work here, KBOO. And we now invite you to stay tuned for an Islamic point of view here at the radio station KBOO. Pay heed to the words.
Welcome to An Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. In light of the evolving situation with the COVID-19 coronavirus, the Jummah, the Friday Congregational Prayer at MCCP, is temporarily being suspended for the community. The Jummah Khutbah will be live streamed via the MCCP Facebook page for the greater community, inshallah. Please go to facebook.com/Muslim Community Center of Portland and follow to be updated on the live streaming process. Remember during this time to please wash and sanitize your hands regularly. Refrain from handshakes and hugs. Follow the social distancing guidelines. Saying Assalamu Alaikum with your hand over your heart is a beautiful way to greet your brothers and sisters during this time. With today being Laylatul Miraj, we do have a special program for you. This is Sheikh Farza Khan with a lecture entitled The Prophet's Miraculous Night Journey.
اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين Zawajan. We ask him to send blessings and salutations and peace and mercy upon the best of creation, our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his family and companions and followers and folk until the end of time. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, that we are in the blessed month of Rajab, one of the sacred months, and in these closing days and nights, that tonight is the 27th night of Rajab, which is, according to many of the ulama, the date of the blessed Isra wal Mi'raj, the blessed night journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and then from there, the Mi'raj, the ascension up into the heavens and past the seven heavens, the seven skies of the cosmos, Samawat, As-Sab'ah, and then beyond As-Sidrat al-Muntaha, the furthest low tree, and witnessing the signs of his Lord, Azza wa Jal, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And according to the dominant position of Sunni Orthodoxy, experiencing not only the speech, direct speech, intimate discourse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in fact having ru'ya, the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in this dunya was granted only to our blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a manifestation and sign of his blessed rank, peace and blessings be upon him, as the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but reserved for all believers in the hereafter in paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us and our families and loved ones and friends and companions amongst them. Ameen. And so reflecting just for the few minutes that we have together, reflecting on some of the lessons of the Isra wal Mi'raj that perhaps we can directly apply in our lives, and not simply to recollect the sacred story and to reflect on the wonders that were bestowed to our blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which itself is a great thing, which itself is a remembrance of Allah himself, and which is something that we are rewarded for, and which is a basis of drawing nearer to Allah, but also deriving some practical things that we can apply directly in our lives thereafter, after hearing and being reminded of the sacred story, in light of which I encourage everyone to attend the event tonight in the masjid, and bringing, you know, your families to be reminded of this sacred and beautiful story, but also that thereafter that we have specific particular things that we can work on in terms of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it's a one of the secrets of the first verse of Surah Al-Isra, which references this night journey. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the translation of the verse, transcendent and glorious above imagination, is the one who took his servant by night, on a special night, Laylan, from the sacred precinct in Mecca to the furthest mosque, i.e. in Jerusalem, is that the attribute by which Allah Ta'ala describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that Subhana alladhi asra bi abdihi. And according to many of the mufassirin, this is ashraful maqam. This is the ashraful maqamat. This is the most honorific title granted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran. And in the context of the greatest of blessings that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most wondrous of blessings, the description is Abdullah or Abdihi, the servant of Allah or his servant. This is the most honorific title of the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran. And the next surah, Surah Al-Kahf, Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. This is also a supreme blessing granted to the Prophet ﷺ, is the sending down of the book. And what's the description of the Prophet in the context of the sending down of the book, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is abdihi, again, his servant. And this nisbah, this ascription to Allah, this idafa construction in the Arabic language, the servant of him, his servant, this is profound, that Allah Ta'ala has ownership, he takes ownership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is his servant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also the Prophet is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the servant of Allah. And this is a trait that we can all partake in. In other words, when the Prophet is described as Nabi or Rasul, this is something that this is designated to special individuals. And the Prophet is the last of prophets and messengers, peace be upon them all. But Ubudiyyah is a door that's open for all of us and incumbent upon all of us to enter into. And so, realizing our servitude, al-Ubudiyyah, that not merely ibadah, which is the physical worship of Islam, ibadah, the worship of the prayer and the worship of giving zakat and the worship of the fasting, etc., but Ubudiyyah, the state of the heart, the state of servitude that is in the heart, in those acts of devotions, and therefore outside as well, throughout our days and nights. Actualizing our Ubudiyyah, actualizing our servitude towards the divine. And of the most salient qualities of servitude, or the servants of Allah, is tawbah, is repentance. And this is one practical thing that we can take, is that the reminder of Isra and Miraj is a divine summons to each of us to renew our tawbah to Allah, to deepen and intensify our repentance to Allah, to make it more real in our lives, to make it something more actualized in the way that we are, in the way that we are in the morning, the way that we are in the evening, the way that we are throughout our times, is in a state of repentance. Penitence is a great virtue, and it's of the most salient virtues of true servitude. The true servant of Allah is never satisfied with the way that they are. And interestingly enough, one of the specific recommendations from the Sunnah for the month of Rajab is istighfar. Istighfar is one of the most specific, it's one of the most important specific devotions of this sacred month. And so this is as a reflection of our servitude to Allah, is asking for forgiveness and ever being penitent and turning unto Him, Azza wa Jal, in tawbah, in repentance. And this presupposes an ethic of introspection, that each of us is conscious of the way that we are, and that we notice our slips, and we notice our faults, and which of us doesn't have our slips, and which of us doesn't have our faults. And this is something that we are, this is something that none of us can deny. The uyub, let alone the dhunub, the faults of that we have, let alone the sins that we slip into. And so istighfar, the Prophet ﷺ made istighfar 70 to 100 times a day, despite the fact that he was sinless and infallible, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about us then? Tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is something Allah Ta'ala is overjoyed with. This is the basis of receiving the divine joy. وَاللَّهُ أَفْرَحُ بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ سَقَطَ عَلَى بَعِيرِهِ وَقَدْ أَذَلَهُ بِأَرْضِ الْفَرَاتِ. As in the authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, is that Allah Ta'ala is more overjoyed with the repentance of His servant. Tawbah to abdihi. This is what informs Ubudiyyah. Than someone in the desert who had lost his camel with all of his provisions on that camel, and then suddenly finds it. Stumbles upon, saqata ala ba'idi, stumbles upon that lost camel. The joy in the heart of a man facing the loss of survival in a desert without any provision, and finding the camel with all of that water and food, Allah Ta'ala is more overjoyed with the repentance of the servant. SubhanAllah. And so inviting that joy into our lives, and this is something that we have to have a sense of urgency for. It's not just putting this off. Imam Nawawi mentions in the Riyadh al-Salihin that it's a religious obligation to make tawbah for every time we sin. It's wajib shar'an in the sacred law of Islam, for every instance of committing a sin, to seek forgiveness for that and make repentance for that. And that presupposes not only recognizing one's wrongs, but having remorse for them and being committed to not doing it again. This is the istighfar of the mu'min. It's not simply lip service, but it's heart service, heart servitude. It's not lip service, it's heart servitude. Heart servitude. And this is why one of the early metaphysicians of Islam, Sahib ibn Abdullah al-Tustari, the great Persian metaphysician of the 3rd century, he says, At-tawbatu tarku taswif. Repentance is to not procrastinate. Repentance is to not procrastinate, a sense of urgency, a sense of duty. It's not that we never sin. We are fallible. Kullu ibn Adam khata wa khayrul khata'in at-tawwabun. The hadith mentions every human being, other than prophets, alayhi salam, is going to sin, is prone to error, is prone to sin. But the best of them are the ones that repent and apologize and have remorse and try their best not to do it again. This is what is incumbent upon each of us. This is the month of Istighfar, and this is the month of Ubudiyyah, and this is the description of the Prophet specifically in Isra wa Mi'raj, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Our Ubudiyyah presupposes our ethic of Tawbah, the consistency of Tawbah, the urgency of Tawbah. And through this Tawbah, through consistent, genuine Tawbah, the sins will lessen, inshaAllah. As another metaphysician of Persia, Azerbaijan, Bundar ibn Hussein was a Shafi'i jurist and Usuli scholar, and he was a student of Abu Bakr al-Shibli. He says, "Man haraba min al-dunub, harabat minhu. Man haraba min al-dunub, harabat minhu." Whoever flees from sins through tawbah, through repentance, through remorse, through genuinely being committed to not repeat them, harabat minhu, those sins flee from him. The devil is less interested in causing them to stumble because they are empowered through their tawbah, through their genuine attitude of servitude towards the divine. And this is also the basis of protection from Allah. Istighfar is the great shield of the believer in this life, let alone for the hereafter. What a great shield in the hereafter. Istighfar is the best shield in the hereafter. Sins will... We will stumble and fall as fallible humans on earth, but our safety net is asking for forgiveness. And so in the next life, when the fire, when we are held accountable, and it's either the paradise or fire, we ask Allah Ta'ala to let us not enter fire at all, that istighfar will be the profound shield from the fire. But also in this life, it's a protection from calamities, or when calamities strike one's vicinity, from it being a special grace for a person. Calamities are interwoven in the fabric of this life. That's something that's very clear from the Kitab and Sunnah. Muslims don't have the problem that in philosophy is called the problem of suffering. The problem of suffering is not a problem for Muslims. It never was in our theological discourse. It wasn't a salient issue. It was dealt with secondarily, as a tertiary matter. Why? Because from the very basic reading of our scripture, every believer recognizes that suffering is interwoven in the fabric of this life. This is not the abode, this is not paradise. This is not the abode of paradisical life. This is the abode of a life that has its ups and downs, hills and valleys. The paradise is in the next life. That's evident to every believer. But those calamities, Allah Ta'ala gives a special grace for the people of istighfar, for the people of genuine, consistent repentance and seeking forgiveness, that even at times of calamities, they have a safeguarding. This is why another of our early metaphysicians, Abu Hassan al-Shadri, rahimahullah Ta'ala, that he says, أَحْسَنُ الْحُسُونَ مَا أَخْبَرَكَ بِهِ مِنَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. The best fortress, basis of protection, the best fortress is what he, capital H, has informed you of seeking forgiveness. Of seeking forgiveness. وَ حَقِيقَةُ ذَلِكَ أَنَّا يَكُونَ لَكَ مِنْ غَيْهِ قَرَارٍ. And the reality of istighfar is that your only source of solace and comfort is Allah. The only one with whom you feel truly comfortable with, truly at solace and peace with, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and none besides. And then he cites the verse, rahimahullah, that Allah Ta'ala, wa qala Allah Ta'ala, wa ma kana Allah liyu'adhibahum wa hum yastaghfirun. Like his proof for it's the best protection, and Allah was not going to punish them while they are seeking forgiveness. This is the best fortress, and this is one of the blessings of Rajab, to tajdeed at-tawbah, to renew our commitment to repentance and istighfar as an expression of our ubudiyyah, the very quality described, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with respect to the Isra wa Mi'raj. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Astaghfirullah, inna Allah al-Ghafur al-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الحمد لله. And reflecting on this last wisdom that we just cited from Abu Hassan al-Shadri rahimahullah, that not only is istighfar the best fortress of the believer, but notice what he says about its reality. وحقيقته أن لا يكون لك من غيره قرار. And the reality of seeking forgiveness is that you have no true solace and source of comfort and refuge besides Allah. And this is also one of the secrets of the Isra wa Mi'raj, is that the true solace of our Prophet ﷺ was Allah. The Isra wa Mi'raj happened, according to most scholars of Seerah, right after Aam al-Huzn. And notice Aam al-Huzn, what was the year of sadness? The year of sadness was a year, the most difficult year for our Prophet ﷺ. And it was the year in which he lost, peace and blessings be upon him, all of the worldly sources of comfort and solace. Even though the whole time his true comfort was with Allah. But in terms of asbab in the world, worldly means, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved, blessed wife, Allah be pleased with her. How valuable was she to the Prophet ﷺ? How much love was between them? How much comfort did she provide for him ﷺ? Specifically in the context of the difficulties of inviting to Islam in the most difficult, aggressive environment towards the religion, towards the faith, towards the freedom of religion, essentially. The issue was not simply this religion, but there was no freedom of religion. He wasn't even allowed to proclaim what was being revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in any case, look at the blessings that unfolded from Lady Khadija, our Blessed Mother, radhiallahu anha. So financial support and emotional support through the vicissitudes of summoning people to Allah in the difficult early years of the Meccan period. And then the loss of Abu Talib. This is not only the last fatherly figure in his blessed life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we know, orphan at a young age, and then Abdul Muttalib, another fatherly figure in his early years, he loses him at a very young age, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abu Talib was the fatherly figure. And in the Arabic language, the brother of the father is like the father. This is why when in the story of Bahira, the monk, that he says, who's this person's father? Abu Talib says, I'm his father. And Bahira says, that's impossible, because according to the scripture, he was orphaned. And so he admits, he's like, it's true, actually, I'm his father's brother. His father's passed away. And then Bahira says, that's true, because the scripture said that. But why did he say, the first time, it wasn't a lie? Because in the urf of the Arab, in the custom of the Arabs, the brother of the father is an affected father. It's like the father. And especially if the baby was orphaned from the father. This is why also in our aqidah, the Azar in the Quran was not the actual father of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is mentioned by Ibn Kathir. The name of the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam was Tariq. But Azar was the paternal uncle, the brother of Tariq. And this is why Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he invites him to Islam, he says, Ya Abati, oh my father. But the point being is that losing Abu Talib is effectively, essentially losing another father. And then also the political support that Abu Talib had provided the entire time. Because then it became nominal. Abu Lahab took on the head of the clan of Banu Hashim, Banu Muttalib, and then its support, in quotes, and giving a license to the aggressors to do what they would. This is when the punishment, the difficulties really intensified for the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca. For him, his blessed person specifically, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So losing Abu Talib, the loss of worldly political support, as well as that fatherly figure. And then the da'wah at Ta'if, as you all know from the Blessed Seerah, and the rejection from the people of Ta'if at the hands of the people that the Prophet generally loved the most, children and servants, the disenfranchised of a community and the children of a community, were the ones from whose hands the stones were being thrown upon his blessed person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such that he was bleeding, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every worldly sabab was removed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sabab that in the world was a locus of comfort and solace, which is really from Allah, and the whole time the Prophet was recognizing Allah and all the solace he received his entire life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But all of that is taken away, and he turns to Allah as he always turns to Allah, which is what tawbah means, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, returning to Allah in the beautiful dua after Ta'if, expressing his faqr and ubudiyah, expressing his neediness for the divine and his servitude towards the divine despite those difficulties, and then what shortly thereafter ensues according to the scholars of the seerah, al-Isra wa al-Mi'raj, meeting Allah directly. Meeting Allah directly. Let alone the wonders that were unfolding of the cosmos and the heaven and paradise and hellfire and all the angelic realms and all the secrets of the cosmos being unfolded. Yet he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not even divert his glance. His glance was not diverted, nor did it trespass. He was focused only on one on that night, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only one he loved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, truly. His qarar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His solace, his comfort, his refuge, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the Habibullah. Allah Ta'ala is al-Wadud. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the most profound and direct recipient of that wood and mahabba from the divine himself. And this is the meaning of beloveds. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a night. What a night. And that's also part of the answer to this quote problem of suffering. Is that Allah will give spiritual illumination to the sound of, to the servant who during their suffering and during their trials they stay connected to their Lord. And they go back to their Lord in a state of utter need and servitude. They hold on to their arida billah, content with whatever Allah is sending them, the blows of fate, even though it's painful. Pain is natural to experience, but not complaining to the divine, not objecting to the divine. Then there's spiritual openings, unimaginable spiritual openings. But the Prophet ﷺ had only one goal that night. Subhanallah, his Lord, Allah himself. Jibreel could not cross. This is the low tree. This is for the Prophet ﷺ. This is his maqam, maqam al-Mahmud. He is Muhammad ﷺ. He is Ahmad ﷺ. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, what was granted to him as an expression of that love for the rest of his life and for the life, all of our lives as believers, the salat, the ritual prayer. This is our meeting with the beloved. This is our meeting with our beloved, our true solace and comfort, Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is where we need to place that love, place our hearts into the prayer as a reflection of that beautiful meeting. Because each of us in our own context, in our own states as servants of Allah, we need Allah. And we can meet Allah in our own way in the salat. And so this is the most important lesson from the Isra al-Miraj is give our hearts to the prayer. Give our hearts to the prayer. Because this is our meeting with Allah as a reflection, as mirroring something, some drops of the ocean of that meeting on that night. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make His people of genuine repentance, people of genuine servitude, people of genuine mahabba with the divine Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the blessed companions, Allah be pleased with them all, with the believers and the righteous and the awliya of Islam and Iman. We ask Allah Ta'ala to rectify our hearts and to make us people who taste the sweetness of Rajab and to taste the sweetness of Sha'ban and taste the sweetness of Ramadan. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us people who are oriented towards Allah, that just as the qibla of our prayer is towards Makkah and Muharramah, that the qibla of our hearts is only Allah, in the prayer and outside the prayer. that the qibla of our hearts is always directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His good pleasure and everything that He loves, Azza wa Jal, and His remembrance and presence, Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah ta'ala to give us afiyah and amen for ourselves and our families and the entire ummah. Allahumma faraj anna wa anil muslimin fi kulli makan. Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma wa hayyi lana min amrina rashada. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
You have been listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. This was Sheikh Farza Khan speaking about Laylatul Miraj, the lecture entitled The Prophet's Miraculous Night Journey. This has been a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland. You can donate your sadaqah to the Muslim Community Center of Portland at mccpdx.org and hit on the contribute button. Thank you for listening today. You can listen to An Islamic Point of View every Sunday here on KBOO at 8 a.m.